Because I can tell you, if it was 7 years ago, I would not be here. I probably didn't even know where I would be. And the fact that I get to speak on spiritual maturity today speaks for itself, because God has done such a work in my heart over the last 7 years, and actually in the last 7 months, I have been transformed like no other. So it's just an honor, and I just welcome you guys. We're all on a spiritual journey. We're all Christians, whether we were born a Christian, our families took us to church growing up, or if you're newly saved and you're just a brand new Christian, but we're all on a spiritual journey. And that journey never stops until we actually go and meet Jesus. So I'm just going to share briefly how this started for me. 7 years ago, I ended a 15-year relationship with my kid's dad, and it was not very pretty, but I was very broken, and I was very hurt, and he was very broken and very hurt. And so, as you can imagine, words were exchanged back and forth, and for years, we really didn't have a great relationship even after the fact. But this one incident is really when I just knew that I couldn't allow my emotions and my feelings in my heart to be corrupt because of some hurt and pain that the enemy was trying to use against me, so I couldn't grow in my walk. After our breakup, it was probably about 2 years after, and it was his turn to pick up the kids from school, and he did not pick them up because of an incident with child support, and his license got suspended. So it was this whole ordeal, and I was at work, and I work in St. Pete, and I live in Holiday. School calls, kids are still at school. Dad didn't pick them up. Found out he didn't pick them up because his license got suspended, and he took it out on the kids. And in that moment, I knew that God was like, just stay quiet, don't say nothing. And I cried, and I drove to go get my kids, and I cried. And I can remember, I believe, I don't know if I talked to Misty that night or the next day, but really in that moment taught me to just learn to know when to just stay quiet. Because I could have said every other thing in the book. I could have, you know, belittled him and said all this stuff. But just in that moment, God had to teach me, and he taught me just to not be so angry and just to be slow to speak, you know, and just not say nothing. And that really just triggered and transformed into the journey that I was on, and to just having a healthy heart and just trying to be a better person and a better mom. So instead of doing all of that to him, what, you know, can imagine if you're out, you know, because my kids, when it comes to my kids, I'll do whatever for them. And even if it's their dad, but not today, because I'm good. you know, saying anything to him wasn't going to make the situation better. You know, it was just going to actually put me in a more, just set me back even more, because I was trying to get, you know, get into a place. I want you to think back just over your life. Have you ever been in a predicament where if God didn't intercede, where would you be today? Because I know he's interceded on so many occasions of my life that it's only God that I'm standing here today, you know, even able to come up here and talk to you guys today and just bring this message, because he's called me to preach, but I've allowed every other thing to derail me from being up here. 1 Samuel chapter 24 through 26. And in this chapter, just to kind of recap, Misty spoke on last week about Jonathan and David and their friendship. And then at the end of that, Jonathan set an escape route for David to leave the land. So because Saul was after to kill him. And coming into chapter 24, David spares Saul's life in the cave. And I'm going to go ahead and read this. It says, can you put up chapter 24? There you go. After Saul returned from fighting the Philistines, he was told that David had gone into the wilderness of El Gedi. So Saul chose 3,000 elite troops from all Israel and went to search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. At the place where the road passes some sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding farther back in that very cave. Now's your opportunity, David's men whispered to him, "Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power. Do with as you wish." David crept forward and cut a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord, the king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him." So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. And after Saul had left the cave and gone on his way. And if you can go ahead and put up 26. So Saul took his 3,000 men. So now he's at the campsite and David is there at his campsite. And this is what happened again. So Saul took 3,000 of his Israel elite troops and went to hunt him down in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul camped along the road beside the hill of Hakilah near Jeshimon, where David was hiding. When David learned that Saul had come after him into the wilderness, he set out spies to verify the report of Saul's arrival. David slipped over to Saul's camp one night to look around. Saul and Abner, son of Ner, the commander of his army, were sleeping inside a ring formed by the slumbering warriors. "Who will volunteer to go in there with me? David asked Elimelech, and the Hittite, and Abshani, son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother. "I will go with you, Abshai, I can't even talk right now, replied. So David and Abishai went right into Saul's camp and found him asleep with his spear stuck in the ground beside his head. Abner and the soldiers were lying asleep around him. "God has surely handed your enemy over to you this time," Abishai whispered to David. "Let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I won't need to strike twice." "No," David said, "don't kill him, for who can remain innocent after attacking the Lord's anointed one? Surely the Lord will strike Saul down someday, or he will die of old age or in battle. The Lord forbid that I should kill the one who has anointed, but take his spear and that jug of water beside his head and let's get out of here." So David took the spear and a jug of water that were near Saul's head. Then he and Abishai got away without anyone seeing them or even waking up because the Lord had put Saul's men into a deep sleep. So their first point would be, and just going back to referencing chapter 24, is that your life is defined by opportunities. Be sure to consult God first before making your final decision. David knew his calling. He knew that Saul was the anointed one. Even though Saul had lost his covering, he was still the anointed one. And he knew that if he took Saul out, that he may have not gotten to the throne. So it was very important that he stuck to who he was. And talking about spiritual maturity, he had the opportunity to take Saul out. Saul was in the cave by himself. He had 3,000 men, but he was alone. And David could have easily took him out and nobody would ever know. In the moment, they thought it was David's best interest by killing Saul, but they did not understand the call on his life. So I would just say, just continue to be in tune with God in all the situations that I've been in. And just recently, I've realized and I know that I have to seek him first. I have to hear from him first. It doesn't matter what anybody else says, my family, friends, coworkers. It doesn't matter. If God didn't say to do it, then I can't do it. And that's pretty much where David had to let his men know, I can't do it. He's the anointed one. He is my Lord, my King. So that's what it is. And David stood up to his man, even though. But also, I just want to point out that David's men didn't see David as the king, because if they did, they would have tried to protect him and his character. And because they wanted just to kill Saul, which, again, he could have twice, but they didn't have the best interest with him. God does not set traps for you, but he does allow you to be in situations so you can make the appropriate decision. And just knowing with everything that's going on in life, you know, we have our ups and downs. Just think about situations where you're at your end, the end of the road, and what are you going to do? You know, it's not a trap. You know, some people blame the enemy for everything, but sometimes it's just God giving you and just wants to see where your trust lies. Does your trust lie in him, or does your trust lie in the world? Our most significant opportunities will be formed in times of greatest challenge. And just think about all your opportunities that you've had to the point where you got here today. And that's going to just continue to allow me to be spiritually healthy and to be that emotional adult, as we talked about in our EHS class. Point number two would be, retribution is not worth it when you're called for purpose. It's not worth cussing out somebody. It's not worth beating somebody up. It's not worth, you know, trying to damage somebody's character. It's just not worth the words, you know, for you to bring it out of. You just don't speak, you know, death. Your tongue is powerful and you can speak life. And to know that we have a greater purpose. That's our word for the year, greater. And God is doing greater things throughout our church, throughout everyone that's in this room today and here today. So I just want to point out, even the people who betray you are a part of the plan. Saul betrayed David. Saul could not see that David wasn't out to get him. And Saul was, his heart was not, you know, his heart was evil. He lived in fear. He did not want to see the good, and he chose not to see the good because, as we know, in the end, he killed himself. So he was not good at all. I used to tell myself in the beginning, when I first started my spiritual walk with God again, because I was on and off for many years. And I had to remind myself all the time when I dealt with people, especially, is that it was never about me, but it was all about Jesus. So it was never about me, but all about Jesus. And I had to keep reminding myself every time I came in contact with somebody, and it just rubbed me the wrong way. And I just had to tell myself, it's not about me, but it's about Jesus. And what can I do to change the outcome of this? And a lot of times it came to me to keeping my mouth closed. It came to me just going to prayer. It just came to me to even try to speak life or even pray for the other person. So it's just very important that we just remember the call that God has on your life, whether it's through your job, whether it's just a ministry to go out and just pray for people and just bring people home. I put here, just be the bigger person. If you don't have to answer phone calls or texts, don't do it. That was me. I would let texts go for weeks at a time. I would pray about it. If God said reply, this is what you reply. If he says don't reply, I'll just delete it and I let it go. Keeping your distance was a huge thing for me, just to continue to grow in my spiritual walk, because I had to set boundaries with certain people. I had to let them know that this is who I am. God comes first. If he's not involved, then I won't be a part of it. And, you know, sometimes they liked it. Sometimes they didn't. Most times they didn't. But I can say today, everybody who had an issue with it before, they love me now. And God has done a work, not just in me, but slowly he's doing a work in their life too. David had nothing to prove to Saul or his men. So even his men were saying, you can do it. Here's your chance. They did not hear that from God. They did not hear that from God. It was their own flesh. It was their own of way of trying to think that they can just, you know, retaliate back. And David was like, no, we're not doing it. And because we know that is that David had, he went after God's own heart. That's what he's known for. And that's what we need to do. Continue to strive every day. What can we do to transform our heart, to go after and let it mimic what God's heart is? And with that, it's really looking through the lens of God's eyes. You know, take ours off and put his on. And how do we see people? And that's very important in our walk as we continue to grow and become healthy. And in our hearts and our minds mentally. So I'm going to go ahead and read the second part of the verses here. 1 Samuel 24:8-15. David came out and shouted after him, "My Lord the King." And when Saul looked around, David bowed low before him. Then he shouted to Saul, "Why do you listen to the people who say I'm trying to harm you? This very day you can see with your own eyes it isn't true. For the Lord placed you at my mercy back there in the cave. Some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you. For I said, I will never harm the king. He is the Lord's anointed one. Look, my father, at what I have in my hand. It is a piece of the hem of your robe. I cut it off, but I didn't kill you. This proves that I am not trying to harm you and that I have not sinned against you, even though you have been hunting for me to kill me. May the Lord judge between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you are trying to do to me, but I will never harm you." As that old proverb says, from evil people come evil deeds. So you can be sure I will never harm you. Who is the king of Israel trying to catch anyway? Should he spend his time chasing one who is as worthless as a dead dog or a single flea? May the Lord, therefore, judge which of us is right and punish the guilty one. He is my advocate, and he will rescue me from your power. And then 1 Samuel 26:22-24. "Here is your spear, O king," David replied. "Let one of your young men come over and get it. The Lord gives his own reward for doing good and for being loyal, and I refuse to kill you even when the Lord placed you in my power, for you are the Lord's anointed one. Now may the Lord value my life even as I have valued yours today. May he rescue me from all my troubles." So to me, that's very powerful, because not only did Saul, his life was spared, but David had to show him that he was not out to get him. And sometimes it comes in that manner where we can show people that, hey, we're not the bad person here. You know, it's okay to tell them, but also that grace is the biggest piece in this picture, because David gave so much grace to Saul because he knew that if he disrupted the trajectory of that, he would not be sitting in the throne. And I don't think there was much time from the first time that David spared his life to the time that Saul killed himself, because they never had any interaction after the second time. They went on their way. Saul left, David left, and then turned around that Saul ended up dying, and then David became king. So point number three would be, every moment of brokenness is an opportunity to show grace. And I think this is the biggest piece that we struggle with. I know I've struggled with it a lot. I even struggle sometimes just giving my own self grace, let alone giving somebody else grace. And if we can't even give ourselves grace, how can we give grace to somebody else? And knowing that it's undeserved, we don't deserve it. And to know that God just freely gives it to us, it's just a powerful thing just to take in and just hold on to that, because it's just a great thing. So I just wrote, when you finally learn that a person's behavior has more to do with their own internal struggle than it ever did with you, you learn grace. So again, we have to realize that they have their own issues that they're dealing with, their own unhealthy habits that they have to deal with. And we can't judge them off of what they're going through, because we've gone through the same thing. And just to be able to recognize the hurts, the pains, the faults that they have, but then also try to draw out the good and see the good in them and let them know that Jesus is real, Jesus is love, that he loves them, that they don't have to struggle in that way. And only if Saul, what if Saul would have changed after this this interaction with David? What if? That's me. When I read the Bible, that's why I ask myself all these different things. Just what if Saul would have? He wouldn't have killed himself. But David was still called to sit on the throne. But at least his life wouldn't have ended the way it would have. He could have at least maybe been honored because he was, again, the anointed one. David seen Saul how God seen him. Again, the lens of God. How do we see people? How do we see our circumstances through the eyes of God? I think that just changed your perspective when I started looking at things in different perspectives, and not just one, but many. And when I start saying stuff, when I have conversations with people, they just are in awe because I look at it in so many different ways, not just my view or even their view, but somebody else's view and how, you know, you can see somebody. And just the fact that David seen Saul how God sees him was just powerful in itself. Even though Saul was after to kill him, to take his life, David still honored him. He still honored him regardless. And I just put, the amount of grace David shown Saul was unbelievable. David even honored him by still addressing him as the Lord, his king. Just think about the opportunities that we have to, when we encounter people at work again or whatever situation that we're in. And just think about it. Is it worth it? Have you consulted God? Have you prayed about it? I know a lot of times I found myself in situations where somebody would tell me, oh, just do this. It'll be okay. And then I just do that and it's not okay. So I've been in those situations where I put myself in that way. But again, just this spiritual journey that I've been on and just being mature and as an adult. I always felt like I was a mature adult when I was younger. But now that I see that I'm actually mature and healthy and emotionally, I can't even imagine just going back to where I was before. So I'm just very grateful. But I just want to say, David exhibits spiritual maturity from the cave to the campsite to the throne. He grew in every situation. He stood up to his men. He still honored Saul and honored who God was and his calling that God had placed on his life. There will be opportunities in your life where you will have to decide to give grace as God gives you freely, or you will give into the enemy. So like I said earlier, the kid's dad, our relationship was very rocky in the beginning. But I can at least stand up here and say confidently right now that we actually have a healthy relationship where we can actually talk and communicate for the kids' purposes. And that only took work of years of crying and just letting God deal with him while I just dealt with myself and allow God to deal with me as well. But this 7 years, and it's crazy because God brought this to me this morning. Just in 7 years, I started my journey again. But then just in the last 7 months, I have gone through and just broken off, you know, generational curses and just healed from just years of brokenness so quickly because God has such a greater purpose in my life. And again, I would not be up here if I didn't allow him to do the work in me. And again, just these last 7 months have been amazing. I cried. I've thought about giving up, but God's like, no, you can't give up. So I just want to encourage you guys just to keep pushing in, keep doing what he's doing for you and just allow him to get in. And if you haven't read that book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, I would encourage you to read it and read it again and just let it just sink in and get into your spirit and just watch how God can just transform you into just a new creature in him and just to do greater things in you. So Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunities that are all in this room, Lord. And we just pray right now in your name that each and every person will take what you've given them, Lord, through this, to this work week, to this week, and just allow them to just walk in victory, walk in freedom, Lord. Let them just just soak in everything that you have for them. I pray, Lord, that they just lean in into you, into your presence, and that they will allow you to come in and just speak truth to them so they can speak truth to your people, Lord. And we just thank you for our worship team today. We thank you for everybody who's just stepping out and doing new things. Lord, we just ask you to cover them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, continue to just to lift us up and just continue to work in our hearts, Lord. And we just thank you for everything that you're doing right now for TCC as we continue to just do bigger. We're at that breaking point, and we are so excited for the new things that are to come, Lord. And we just give you praise and glory and honor today. In Jesus' name, amen.